before Jesus comes, everything Jesus was going to do has been written. A walk of the Spirit is about to grow in the heart of heaven. That's why I know that you would not go the same in the mighty name of Jesus. There is a big role for you and me as a single. And that's why we need to understand what singleness is all about. So the topic will be the blessedness of singles. The blessedness, you can say, of being a single. The blessedness. Father Lord, I destroy my kili kawushte kali ishlindahata. Every power of destruction in our midst be crucified. Amen. Thank you, Father. Join me to open quickly to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. I read from verse 10. Thank you, Father. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death part me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. We know this story. Naomi had two sons, and she also had two daughter-in-laws. And the story said that this son, due to famine, but specifically what makes the two children to die was not stated. But the Bible says there were two wives of these sons who are Moabites. And one of them was Orpah and the other one was Ruth. But here, the Bible made us to see that there was a persistence in the life of Ruth to follow her with a mother-in-law. And the other person did the same, but at some point in time, parted her own ways. When you look at this, you see someone who had been married before, but eventually, due to circumstances that were probably beyond her push, beyond her power, she failed. She failed. Many people will wonder, how did she fail? Was there anything left for that offer? To marry after the sons had died, the sons of Naomi? No. So on the other hand, we can say she had not failed. But I will tell you, the reason why she failed is because she refuses to see what the Lord says about her life. Because after that part, the Bible didn't mention anything about Orpah again. So it was just all about Ruth. And we can testify that the life of the Ruth become a life that even orchestrated the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in the lineage that happened thereafter when Ruth and Boaz come together. But you know, I just share that story in order for you to understand where I'm going today. There is something that you need to understand about the life of a single. The life of a single does not mean that that life is cursed. Neither does it mean that that life has a challenges that have no solution or that have no coverage of God in it. No, it's far beyond, even though that is what the world wants us to understand. So I will encourage you as a youth, do not settle for crumbs, but you need to understand that you need to walk your way with God. When you walk your way with God, is when you understand the plan that God has for your life. It's when you understand that singleness, being single, is not a curse, but a blessing. The bigger question in the mind of so many single people, especially female, is how to be found by the man you have been looking for. How can I be found by that man? How can that woman know that I'm available? How can I make myself ready? How can I present myself? But I've come to let you understand that by the divine nature and arrangement of God, Ruth was placed for Boaz to see. And also Boaz was at the right place in the time of history, meeting with the agenda of God for his life. So it was both sides. They were both prepared by God. But here we can see clearly the big picture there was that Ruth was not just depending on the mother-in-law as to Naomi, but he said, the God that you serve, I will serve. And where you are, I will be. So it's far beyond just wanting to satisfy a mother-in-law. But it has to do with an understanding of something that is deep. And today, we singles, you singles, search for love everywhere. Why? Because there is an emergency state that is attached to love. Because most often, love cannot easily be found around, because love is very deep. And the world makes it so easy now, by the virtue of development, develop so many things on the internet, platforms that helps you to search for the love you are looking for. But is that all to love? That wasn't all to love. Because yeah, the Bible made us to understand that in the life of Ruth, she made up her mind to follow Naomi. Even though she had no idea of what is lying ahead of her, she had no plan of her own. I think this is one of the things that God is asking from the single of today. That you know that I am God over your life. Yes, my word says that I will fulfill the desires of your heart. But what kind of desires do you carry? Is it a desire that God will say yes to? Or a desire that God knows that it can destroy your relationship with him, and therefore exposing you to some kind of unnecessary dangers? In other words, it is good for singles to learn about relationship. And that's what we've done this morning. And we're going to be doing it in series. It's good for you to understand how to wait on God until God speaks. Because Ruth was found by his Boaz because he waited. Because she did not trust on her own understanding, but trust in the divine placement of God for her life. So the longer you wait, I wrote here, the greater you will settle for. This is part of the book that the Lord is writing to us now. The longer you wait as a single, the greater, the bigger you settle for. There is a book called Responsibility, How to Take Responsibility and Command Control Your Destiny. I did not believe this. Two people at the same day just related with me last week, just 4 days ago. And one of them, which I would like to talk about, told me something that every page of that book, she underlined some very key point. But there is a point that changed her life and her relationship altogether. I said, what is it? And she began to tell me. And we discussed for more than an hour. She told me about what she had gone through and about the decision she had just made while reading that book. Don't ask me that decision yet, because it's part of what God wants to give to us today. But what I can say is that this lady discovered that you have to take responsibility of everything that happened to you. She doesn't stay in Guinea, she's staying afar off, but I wonder how she got my number. I did not even ask. After when I allowed her to speak her heart out, I then began to respond as the Holy Spirit gave me utterance. But then there was another person called out of this country again. And this fellow said, "Pastor, I've made a mistake. I was with a boyfriend for 3 years. And then suddenly I got pregnant and all I had to do is to get married." And she said, "Now there is so many funny and strange behavior that this guy is exhibiting. And that she's getting tired every day. She does not know if she can go on with the marriage." And I said to her, I said, "You have indeed made a mistake, but our God is merciful." And we begin to talk. Why did I share this? Do you understand that it is pleasant to be single than to be in a marriage that will take your life? You know, marriage may not take your life physically, but may take the spirit part of you. That's why sometimes you see people walking, but the life in them is gone. By the virtue of experience or experiences that they are going through in their marriage. So, singleness is great. Why? It is great joy to marry the right person and a great distress, regret to marry a wrong person. So, singleness is good. But then, the Bible makes a contradiction of what is different between being single and married. But then there is a connection factor that was the same that held both contradictions together. And that was the fact that the Bible says both are gifts from the Lord. So let me quickly tell you one advantage of singleness. Write it down. Singleness is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. When I was growing up, I was opportunity to work with a man. And all they will say is that this man is everything. I usually hear about him is that when will he marry? By the time he was already 48. When will he marry? 3 years ago, when I heard about him, he was still not married. And then I begin to repent, because at that time I didn't understand that singleness can be a blessing. I felt that it's a taboo, or something is wrong, or there is a darkness that is at war when a man is not married. But far be it, because singleness, just as marriage is also a gift from God. So given that background, let's read quickly from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I read from verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Okay, let me take it from verse 6. The Bible says, "Now as a consentation, not a command, I say this, I wish that all were as myself, as I myself am." So Paul Apostle was saying here that by opinion, not by a must or you have to, but by opinion, he wish that all men would be like him. But then you will look at this statement and begin to wonder, is this not a selfish statement here? Isn't this selfish? But the truth is that it's not. If you read further, it gave the reason why he said in which the people were single like he was. But each has his own gift from God. Can you see? One of kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widow, I say that is good for them to remain single as I am. It's an opinion. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Then 10 says, to the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. I'm going somewhere. Let me tell you something, brethren. The truth is that we cannot understand singleness very well until we have to discuss what a divorce is all about. And the Bible makes us to understand that Jesus did not give attention to a divorce. And we'll get there in the book of Matthew chapter 19. Just get it open there. Jesus didn't give attention to divorce, but the law of Moses said, if a man found, or either party found someone in such a situation where he is in adultery, then there is a chance for a divorce note to be filed. But here the Bible made us understand that it is better not to be divorced, because that's what Paul is saying here. Why? Because there cannot be a divorce without marriage. And marriage must involve two people from different backgrounds. There cannot be a divorce without marriage. So you can see the blessedness of being single showing up there. Many a times in the world we live, like the example of the man I gave, it's like a taboo when you remain single and people begin to wonder what is. But let me tell you, with the understanding of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, it is not a cause to be single. However, if you cannot hold yourself, it is much more a blessing to be married. I hope somebody understands what I'm saying. Number two is that singleness has an advantage. It has an advantage. So Paul mentioned that advantage in the book of 1 Corinthians 7 that we just read. Single people are separated from trouble of marriage. For example, I heard Evangelist Simon was being clear about the challenges that it cannot be hidden in a way that present or show itself in a marital life. So there are many great blessings in marriage, yes, but there are also difficult things. So Christian couples have deceived the world, because we begin to make the world feel like marriage is perfect. Pastors have made the world not to understand the sacred place and the commitment that comes with marriage, because we always make them feel like marriage is beautiful or true. Even though it comes with its beauty, it also has its ashes. Its ashes comes as well. So in other words, marriage is to mirror what is about to happen when Jesus is being revealed. So marriage is not the totality of who we are, but the totality of who we are is our single self. And that's why I said earlier that I'm still single. And I know my wife is still single. Why? Because we kept working on ourselves every day. And we are getting better. So marriage is a very heavy thing that is not a thing to be played or joked with, but a sacrificial offering. Something that before you come into it, you must understand what it's all about. So singleness has an advantage. And the advantage is that, you know, you will be taken away from the trouble that is in marriage. For example, if you're in marriage, the truth is that you cannot make a decision yourself. And Evangelist Manning said that also. If you call me, for example, and my wife is not okay with I responding or going after whatever that call dictates, I tell you, I will not, because I'm no longer single, because I have to think about her first. But then we need to remain single, because Jesus said, when he is coming, he's coming for his bride. So the bridegroom is coming for those who have the singleness of the heart. Those who are readily working on themselves as husband and wife. Those who are ready, available for him, who have not allowed the oppression of this world to cause a divorce in their life. I will come back to what I meant by divorce and why I say is the only way you can understand divorce. I listened to a message from a man of God. He said you cannot understand glory except you understand the opposite of glory, which is shame. Because anybody can say, I'm glorious because God has planted my feet on a blue zone experience. Anybody can say anything about glory. But you know, when you experience shame, before the imagination of glory in your life, you will understand glory very well. This is because the opposite of glory is shame. And shame, when you go through it, you better would appreciate what a glorious God. Singleness is also hard. That's number two. It's very hard to be single. Because this is the time that the affairs of this world will come in looking for you. It is known that singles are people who are always lonely because they are alone. But the truth is this. The Bible makes us to understand that God saw the hardness of being a single. And that is why it said in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, that it is not good for the man to be alone, and we make a helper suitable for him. So Eve was created to meet Adam's need for companionship, and the two came together in lifelong sexual relationship of marriage. Although New Testament is very, very specific about singleness. And I will tell you the reason why. Because when Jesus shall appear, Jesus will not appear and say, because you are husband and wife, you will rapture together. Myself and my wife have an experience that I know few people in the world, by the grace of God, could have such an experience. 11-11-11. Not long ago, we were watching a movie. They call it 11-11. Last 2 weeks. And we stood up, we are afraid. That, so 11-11 is symbolic even in the eyes of the world and those who are not even on the side of God. So they acted the movie to understand that a time is coming when Jesus will appear and the Antichrist will take over the world. You know what happened that night? My wife was taken out of her body with a high speed to heaven. And then, as described by her, she was trying to pull me alongside with her. And then, that is all she said. But in my own experience also, I was taken out of my body. The ceiling was open. There is no barrier in the spirit. I was taken far somewhere. Suddenly, the gate opened without a man opening the gate. And this gate looks like a light. And then I was taken into a room. And they begin to tell me, none of us speak. I didn't speak. The angel that took me didn't say anything. But you know, the realm of the spirit, your heart is as transparent as anything. So the Spirit of God saw whatever questions that come in my heart. One of the questions was, God, where I am? I didn't even know where I am. I didn't even know what takes me out of the body. And then the angel told me, he says, this is your wife's house, mansion in heaven. And I saw two empty angels that I could not see the top of their head, but just to the chest, to their breastplate. They were so huge and radiating light. And suddenly I came back to my body, and my wife, I was waking her up. She was not, but at some point in time also she stood up. I told her what I saw. She also told me what she saw. And we were so afraid, we began to look every street, I mean house. And I went to the street and said, I hope Jesus has not come. Because it was so real. Now, why did I share this? God relates with us individually. This is the blessing of singleness. But because it can be hard, when your body requires, your life requires companionship, your life requires sexual relationship. That's why God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. Because he's a God of perfection. He understands that not everyone will be like Apostle Paul. Not everyone will have the measure of such a grace. So single, do you know that it's not a cause for you to remain single, you witch? Because I tell you, marriage has its challenge. And there is no way a man can successfully enjoy his or her marriage except the single-handedly remain single. What makes them remain single is working on themselves differently. There is no such thing like we are working together to get. No, I know what I need much more than my wife. My wife knows what she needed much more than I do. Because our heart is transparent to God. So this is the reason why I say even when you are married, you must intentionally remain single. And I will end in this final word about singleness. Singleness is not permanent. And that is what the word system, which I also believe, which every one of us believe, when a lady is taking time to marry is a taboo in Africa. They begin to cast her back. But can we see the knowledge in the Word of God? Singleness is not going to be permanent. Because a time shall come when the bridegroom will come to take his bride. And I tell you, either you are male or female, you are bride as far as spiritual authority and mystery is concerned. Somebody will say bride can only be female. But as a male, you are bride of Jesus Christ. And this is what singleness is all about. Many who are presently single will one day marry. Others will remain single throughout their life. But no Christian is single forever. Human marriage reflects the marriage God wants us to enjoy forever, which is coming when Jesus shall appear. So the Bible has clearly made us to see that Jesus as the bridegroom who will one day return to take his bride, the church to be with him, is the perfect example. The perfect example of what makes us to see that singleness is not a curse and singleness is not forever. It's not permanent. There is a song I love. It says, yonder place where the light is shining bright, Jesus Christ, he will make all things alright. In his time, he will make me really see. Cause if you're not put all my heart to rest, if you're not put all my heart to rest, oh, if you're not put all my heart to rest. And it goes for, it says, where there is no gnashing of sin, he will guide me and lead me to the city of Babel, where there is no more sorrow, no more pains. There is a pain in marriage. There will be no crying in the city. No more pains. No more pains in the city. No more pains. That is where Jesus is. And that is where he's bringing us to. So singleness is not a curse. However, to better understand what singleness is, the quick and the best scenario to understand singleness is looking for its possible similarity. That means the tragedy state of divorce. It must be studied. Divorce is a damage. I'm not there, I will never be there by the mercies of God. But the truth is that if those who have divorced speak to you, you will prefer to remain single. Because it comes with a bitter experience. You know, the thing about men of God who are called, chosen by God, is that you don't have to have 40 years marriage experience in the realm of the physical. Because in the spirit realm, everything is transferred. Both the physical is in the spirit. So by the little physical experience, it translates and follows in the realm of the spirit. And that's why you see men that are not married, the Lord can use them to guide the life of married couple. People that speak with me often are people of my mother's age, from different parts of the world. And when we discuss, it baffles me to see God coming into their marriage and settling a marriage of 30, 40 years. I gave us an experience of one few weeks ago that called from one of the parts of Europe and said that each time I come in, my husband will just feel this irritation and says, I'm smelling a marriage of 30 years plus, late 30s. And then by that virtue, the man will be considering they should separate. Not to separate the room, but to separate at that age. That's because to go through marriage, it needs God to be with you. Now let me quickly tell you, this is not to bring heresies to you and tell you that marriage is not good. No, you just need to open up your heart for the Holy Spirit to flood you. I'm just telling you that when you are taking that female with you, because I know after this relationship talk, sisters, keep your money. Brothers will start taking you on outing. Let's clap for our brother to make them happy. They will start taking you on outing. You don't believe it? Clap for them because they are receiving teaching. Clap for the brothers so that they can take you on outing to know you. You must know him and you must know her. Because marriage is a commitment. It takes all of you. It takes everything of you. It requires all. It requires all. You can only be married successfully when you are married to Jesus first. And that was what Ruth did. When I was in primary school, I was telling my wife, primary six. How many of us remember when we were in primary six? I want to know, okay, not only me. I wanted to say, what kind of brains do I have? Okay, good. Because I was wondering, I hope people also used to remember, at least from primary six you can pick up. That was 1989, 1990. You know, there is an excursion that we went. It was the last excursion in that college. Day your international and service. You know, at the time, it was the most expensive college in that area. That young badger, they call it that time. Those who are, who knows that place. And then suddenly there was a lady that, you know, in those days they will attach you, you must sit male and female. I think they are trying to achieve something. Then there is this lady by my side. Each time I try to speak, she will say, I don't know how to speak English, so I should keep short. And I will be afraid. Because she has been in this school before I got to the school. And I was coming from a rugged background. So I would be afraid. But one day, I began to see her draw close to me. So I felt everything is now okay. So I also was drawing close. If you have had these thoughts before, like that age, you begin to feel, you know, we usually do one play then. Oh, you are my, you are father and mother. Let me feed you. You know, those kind of things. We now begin to play on in your memory that maybe she is my wife. Do you get what I'm saying? Then one day I approached her. I made sure I talked to him very well. And I was a kind of a head prefect at the time. Primary six. And then I went to her, I told her. I think my teeth was bigger than my head that time. I don't know why. Because the first thing she will see was, your teeth is too big. And I didn't know the kind of English I can return back. I tell you, I remember everything vividly. In fact, she said, meat teeth, deputy, she began to mention all those kind of things. And I was afraid. And I made up my mind. I said, I will not, she's too heavy for me. I said, I'll leave this one. This one is too much for me. But then, where I'm going is this. We were taken on a sculpture that day. There is a song I can never forget that we sang. I don't know who brought that song, but somebody just sang the song. I am married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. I am married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. My husband is coming to take me away. You can bear witness that that song has been alive for long, right? Some of us are not born. It's been, I don't know when they sang it, but that was the song. And suddenly I said, how can I be married to Jesus? But glory be to God, I found the understanding one day. Let's laugh for Jesus. You must be married to Jesus first, brethren, before you can enjoy marriage. Because emotional attachment comes with divorce. That is why we can simply say divorce is a death. D-E-A-R-T-H. A death of relationship between two people. To be in divorce is worse than a cancer. Somebody will say, did I know? Have I been in divorce before? Is the word of God, I told you as I was praying this word, I was praying more than reading, more than saying, God, what do you? Why? Because the Holy Spirit was doing it. I understand that it's about a time for people to be impacted. And impartation is a serious word. You want to do it as the Holy Spirit will do it. And that's one thing I will enjoy when I leave this island. Every time I come, in the midst of little group or big group, when it has to do with Jesus, I ensure I proud myself. Because it's important to impact life than to give a human being a car, even. Because the car will fail off. The building will fail off. Everything that is to be received physically will fail off. But impact is from generation to generation. And that's what God is doing today. So, cancer is good. Let me explain it to you. Cancer is good because cancers have level. There is a hope when there is a cancer in the life of a man. But the reason why divorce is worse than a cancer is because divorce, there is no way that it happens. Either you marry or remarry, you will still feel the impact. But thank God for those who have experienced it, that the Holy Spirit came in. That's what makes the matter change. And you heard the example of our mother here. It's the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. It's the Holy Spirit that, look at that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. She was frustrated. Not until when the Holy Spirit came in, then she received understanding that there is another well, spiritual well, that will not make you to thirst again. That's what makes the difference. Otherwise, brother, the woman will have remained bitter. From the intonation of the word, if you read that word and you bring it to practicality, you will see that she's bitter. The first thing she will say is, what do we have to do with you? That's her first. Samaritan has nothing. So she was so full of culture, full of hatred, full of bitterness because of all that she has gone through. But you know, when cancer gets to a certain stage, it kills the life. You know, when something dies, it will be forgotten over the time. But divorce is not going to be forgotten. The mark will be there. And I tell you, when the Holy Spirit come in and repair the life of that fellow who had experienced it, it is because of God's grace. And out of 100, it may be 10 or less than that will permit the fullness of the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God, I've spoken to so many divers over the phone and face to face. And I discovered that if they tell you about their story, you'll be afraid to go into marriage. Because it's real. It's genuine. So why is divorce worse than a cancer? Because it does not die. Something will still bring you together. Let's assume there is a child. Each time you need to see your son, see your daughter, it replays. You know what I mean? The experience replays itself. The pain opens up again. Okay, let's assume nothing contacts you again together, there is no child. But when the memory comes, the heart comes again. So why did I lay emphasis on divorce? So that you will prepare before you get into that relationship. So that you will prepare before you get into that marriage. I want to make a confession to you before God Almighty. There is a revelation I received. I have never matched many people together before. And I will not do it. I'm very, very principled by the message of God. I will not do it. If you like, pay me billion. I will use your billion to enjoy. But I will not match many people. I cannot. And I will tell you the reason why. The reason why it came because of my experience with my wife. I met my wife 2009. Oh, is it 2009? Sorry. 1999. So it's 18 years plus now. But we've only been married for 9 years plus. But the truth is this, the first 2 years of our marriage is like cat and rat in the room. You know, some people will say what scattered their marriage is because my husband went and impregnated or do this, do that. How was not even a huge. It's just, why didn't you close the window? Why didn't you let the ventilation? Just little thing. And it will help you to understand that we are coming from different personalities and different places. But we are here to understand that for us to work together, we must remain single with God. So that our singleness come, the platform that attached our singleness is the platform of Jesus, whom we are married to. Then marriage we want. Holy Spirit is here today. Myself and my wife have no problem, no issues for many years now, more than 6 years now. We never go to bed with problems. I think the problems we have recently was about kissing, right? When I'm going out of, I think, let me quickly do one today. You know, let's assume that one is for this week, all of this week. Amen. Because she quickly reminds me often that I'm going out without, you know what I mean? Marriage has issues. You must be humble to be married. I wonder somebody is so proud. You are so proud and you want to be able, and that's one of the things the evangelist said. You have to respect your wife. You have to respect one another. But I will tell you, men have to love their wife. When you love your wife will respect you. And one of the things that causes issues now, there is no man that does not like respect. If you do not like respect, raise your hand and I will flog you. Because it's a lie. Every man likes respect. Every man, we are built that way. Don't you understand the word of God? The word of God said, God created Adam. He made him to live. He made everything. He labeled everything. He labeled everything. And then the Bible says it is not good for him to be alone. And that's why a woman was taken out of him. So you could imagine the level of that relationship. It was out of him. Something was taken out. And imagine that thing, not respecting the fact that you come out from my bowel. You know, it's painful. So men is wired to have expectation for respect. Some men can lie and say, you know, you can just call me baby. It's fine. But when you call him baby, make sure you also what? Give respect at the same time. Because otherwise, that baby will turn to, okay, what's happening? And you begin to call yourself men. Because respect is reciprocal. So men show their respect by law. Let's establish it quickly. Go to the book of Genesis chapter 2. That will give us better understanding. Some of you will understand this word now. Chapter 2. I read from verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heaven and brought them to the man to see what he could call them. And that is what I said earlier. And 20 says, the man gave names to all the livestock and everything that creeped on the ground and so on. But for Adam, there was none found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And then he took a bone out of him and a flesh and made is a woman. So there is a respect. Imagine I'm producing something like a water and then I make it available for free. The fact that I make it available for free does not make you to take the water. When you take it, then leave. Or then respect yourself. But why will you take the water and still be splashing the water upon me? I provided the water in the first place. That is how it feels. When women, so you must dislodge yourself from all the slave materials and slave belief in the world today. What's the meaning of slave? What's the meaning? I'm not a home owner, but you know, I decided to put my mind off some stuff. You must be ready to marry to Jesus, because when you are married to Jesus, Jesus will tell you what to do through the word of God. It will make you know. You know, imagine another thing I cannot do. If my son is married to a witch, I will tell my son, this is a good wife. It's biblical. Does it make sense? When you marry to a witch, you want me to tell you it's a witch? The Bible says when they are joined together, let no one put what? I'm telling you, it's a sin. So I wonder, men of God, who will cause a problem between two people. There is no, I've been with married couple all the time on phone and all of that sex issue. But the truth is that whatever I will see at the back must be what will bring them together. You will not say that word of what you say. Rather, you will go on the kneel and pray for effectiveness of God to bring out the best in them. Why? Because there must be respect between them. Imagine a man of God is calling me and he said something is wrong with my wife. I may never call that man of God again. Does it make sense? Because the Bible says, he that findeth a wife, findeth it. Even though it's a witch, you find a good thing. You can't leave her. The Bible, why do you know God if you cannot change a witch? Why do you know God in the first place if you cannot change the character of the other person? So we understand that this divorce is something that we must not experience. In fact, God made no arrangement for divorce in the Bible. Divorce leaves you permanently damaged. Beyond repair, if care is not taken. Like I give an example, when the Holy Spirit overflows, then there will be a change. Except miraculous healing of the Holy Spirit, like he said. And the book of Isaiah 61 that we read last week says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Maybe there are one or two people who are having issues in their relationship today. You will be healed before you leave here in Jesus' name. So the essence of this series of teaching starting today is for you not to make a mistake. That's why I come to broaden my heart. See, when we are talking, when you come to meet me as a village, I will not say things that will offend you, except when I'm in prophetic. I will not say things that I will edify you. I will look for a way to guide you, to make you understand what you are yet to understand. But in the office like this, it is a privilege. And whatever you are, the Holy Spirit is speaking, you have to write them down and walk with them. Ask God for more clarity. Because the truth about singleness and marriage is it has been polluted in the world today. And so many belief system has come into it, which is not supposed to be. So it's going to be a series because we cannot finish it all today. Our time has been taken by me now. So, the essence of marriage is to mirror God. So see, there cannot be a divorce without marriage. And at the same time, there cannot be a marriage without two people being involved, involving their life and commitment as a single. So this is what I meant by married but still single. Now listen, brethren. Your marriage success is dependent on the separate entity of you as individuals. You don't get it. What you have is your marriage. What you have is your marriage. Let's be frank. I've conducted more than 10 marriages now. There was one last month or last 3 weeks. Thereabout. And the truth is that when I got there, the couple were telling me what to say because they are from, one is from Muslim region and the other one was from Turkey, but a Christian. They were telling me, Pastor, be quick. And I said, yes, sir. Because the truth is that the day of marriage is not the day that you change things. The character of who you are is what you will take into your marriage. In fact, Jesus made it happen that way. Because when Jesus got to the wedding of Cana, what happened is that he went there to bless them, probably also to eat. To bless them. He didn't go there to cast away demon. And that's why the evidence of that blessing was to rescue them when the wine was out. So if you are believing, where I'm going is this, if you are believing you can bring somebody into the limelight and you say God will change it, he's a liar. We carry our baggages into marriage. So the reason why we must learn and wait, which happened in the life of Ruth, we must learn and wait. Because we bring our baggages into marriage. If you used to be a dirty boy, dirty guy, you will bring that dirtiness, the underwear smelling, you will bring it into the marriage. And your wife will begin to wonder, I thought this man, when I see him outside, when those days he's shining, he's not shining inside you. He's only shining by the natural cloth that covers us. So you cannot deceive the other party. And the funniest thing about marriage is that when you come together, you also come with reality of life. Does it make sense? You come with reality of life. There is nothing to be hidden again, because we see each other from back to the front. So then, how do we salvage this? So I will just tell us how powerful next Sunday will be, because I have to close now. See, we are going to talk about two major problems that single or people in relationship go through, and it's going to be very practical. Do we understand? And the Holy Spirit will begin to give you direction as to what you have to do and as to where you are. So when you come into marriage, what you bring into the marriage, like other people's character, is part of them. Some of us, you plan what you want your husband. There was a time my wife told me, she said she thought that each time when I come, I will look at her, you know, I don't want to go deep. And I sat out there with something. I said, yes, it's good, but not every day I could look. Because someday when I'm coming, I'm just tired, I'm looking for a bed. Just want to sleep on. So you have to uninstall so many people's character that you are watching a movie. Marriage is not movie, it's reality. I remember sometimes we watch some movie and you begin to wonder, when I come home, I'll just tell my wife that, you know, today's your birthday, that's your time. Car you are talking about, and you will work for it before you get it. So now, if you carry that mentality and you did not uninstall it, the truth is that if the car is not coming quickly, you begin to hate that man. Then you begin to wonder, I thought I loved him. No, because you have not really married to Jesus. Who will tell you that car is good, you will have it, but you have to wait, you have to persist. And sometimes also in marriage, in that book I also wrote that, you know, sometimes we carry lifestyle of order, thoughts of fictions that is never going to be realistic. Diluted knowledge and bad teachings or influence. And all this will determine the lifespan of your marriage. Why? The answer, the question is why? The truth is this. Because marriage is a meeting point of no return. Holy Spirit told me this. I wrote it down. I just wrote it down. My wife knew when I was typing. It took me 6 hours to prepare this message, or much more. He said, marriage is a place of no return. And that's why, you know one thing? I know that if it is one life, God is imparting today. Because each time the war of impact is coming, devil is fighting it too. So as a single, you must work on yourself. Let's stand to our feet. You must work on yourself. I need time to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. So do we always bring into marriage what you have? What you have is what you bring. Let me quickly tell you one fact before we pray. See, if you marry a criminal, you will be robbed eventually. Do you know some men will carry their wife purse? God forbid any of you have that experience in the name of Jesus. They will carry their wife purse, they begin to steal from it. And you respect that woman to respect you. That's because that person must have been a thief before he comes into the marriage. See, a man can appear to be handsome, but handsome evil. A woman can appear to be beautiful, but a beautiful witch, white witch. Because marriage is far beyond what we see in the physical realm. Why not come next Sunday? Let's go deeper. I felt some restriction when I started. I'm not yet in the depths. I feel the depths. We're just approaching, but God wants us to stop soon so that we can manage the time. And then says it's a serious teaching. So if you marry a monster, he will beat you up every day, eventually quench your life. Permit me to use wench. And this monster does not appear to be a monster. Shining blazer. Darkening face with a wave coil kind of hair like Pastor Archer. With a big chest like Obie. But the truth is this. It is not about the container, it is the content. It's the content, brethren. It's the inside. I know after this series of this teaching, many of our brothers will now be, going into relationship. But you need to understand, and our sisters also, are you ready? Have you known yourself? Are you single with Jesus? Because you must remain single when you are married. And that's the blessedness of singleness. I want us to pray. But there is a portion of the word that struck my heart just now, the Holy Spirit ministered. Naomi means blissfulness. Beautiful, glorious. But then, after her experience, when she got back to her place of birth, to Judah, she said, "Do not call me Naomi, for the Lord has dealt with me wickedly. For my name should be called Mara, bitterness." Do you know that that is the end of everyone that decided to get married themselves? And that's why I gave us the example of that person who called out of this island and said that we've been in a relationship. The relationship living together is not a validity that is he or she. See, I'm just crying out my heart. When you come to meet me physically, I will not go to the. Because I speak to people, if I allow the Holy Spirit, by having their spirit contact with my spirit. There are people who do not want the truth, and I will not tell you the truth. Don't say I'm a wicked pastor, except the Holy Spirit wants me to. The Bible talks about Prophet Micaiah. Amongst of the rest of the 400 prophets, he stand out. And because God wanted to show for his mercy upon his life, and for people to know that he's a man of God, genuine man of God, he brought out a spirit of lies in the rest of the prophet. So any one of us can fall into it once in a while. Does it make sense? Yes, any one of us can fall into it. But I don't want to offend you. But see, whatever is being said here is not me. Put it into account. Because the Holy Spirit wants to do something. Because I made up my mind in that night that he called that I was going to be saying the truth. So that when I leave, I will leave empty. Please, people of God, check your relationship. You don't have to be 20 before you be in relationship, but you understand relationship before going into it. Some people have low CGPA because they are always on shopping for the rest of their lives. You cannot make ends with such kind. But I tell you, if you are successful and you know yourself, you select. You select. Women are meant to follow men, not to pursue men. It's when we have lived. There's a place in Obafemi University. We call it Moremi Hall. How many of you have gone to Obafemi University? Oh, you. Okay, good. Moremi Hall is a place they used to put all the sisters and has wasted their life. They've wasted their life. Their song is, "Do something new in my life." So each time we are passing through, you know, we were so radical in those days. If we are passing through that dormitory side, because I have to pass through that place to the Mozambique Hall. For two of you who knows of Abanor University. And each time we are moving, we begin to sing, "Do something new in my..." And the sisters will be covering their eyes like this. Because they are old, they've wasted their life. None of us, our life would be wasted here in the name of Jesus. The experience of Ruth or Naomi was not because she wasted her life, but also because providence pushed her that way. You are going to pray just one prayer point and we are done. And say, "Father, help me Amen. Thank you, the Holy Spirit. Open your heart. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. But it's not all of us that need to pray. But He loves you. And I want to tell you what He says. Should I do it? Okay. I want you to pray, God, if the relationship I have is not of you, put a stop. Can you do it? You love her. Next week we are going to discuss about love. You will know how to love and you understand what love is all about. Because we are not saying you should not be in a relationship. That's what the evangelists have said and the wife. We are saying that be in a relationship, but let God guide you. Our university students should have relationships if possible. And they can remain single if they want. So, are we ready to pray? If you are ready, wave your hand. Okay, praise God. I thank you for your sincerity. I want you to declare and say, Lord, every relationship that will take me to any grave, Father, do me a way with it. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Do me not a way with it. Do me away with such a relationship that will take my life, that will demand my life, that will destroy my destiny, that will make me not a fixture in the plans of God for my life, that will turn my life to Mara, bitterness, Lord, take me away. Take me away from such a relationship. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I'm not ignorant that we also have marriages there. Those who are married. And I want us to be clear. We also have God who is, you know, there's something they call emotion. Emotion is a facilitator. It's good. But it's not a decider. So maybe the relationship you have now, you are going through some kind of emotional problems, battles. I also want you to pray. Because I tell you, God can make it new again. So I want you to decree, and for those of us who are still sick, you can still pray the prayer also, sowing the seed for the future. And say, Father, make my wife new, make my husband new. Is your child, make him new. Hijack his life, teach him, show him your love. Make him new, make him understand who you are. Make him understand the reason for our marriage. Make him understand, Lord, fix us. Fix us, Lord. Fix us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, fix us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Now you need to understand that marriage is very, very sweet. And therefore I proclaim that by the power that is in the blood of Jesus, for those who have a mind to marry, and for those who can, you know, who have already walked into marriage, may you receive the grace to accomplish greatness in the name of Jesus. Yeah. The greatness I'm talking about is making fit with your bone of bones and flesh of flesh. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Is there anybody that something has gone sour? When you get on, thank you, Holy Spirit. Read chapter 2 of the book of Ruth. One of the things that sister said was that she didn't listen, she didn't tell the parents, she didn't tell any pastor. Do you know that when Ruth met with Boaz, the teacher of the life of Ruth was Naomi? When you get to read it, you need someone, don't be proud. So that marriage will not slap you when you go into it. It's not all about, honey to have carry monster. Honey can wake up one day and become a monster. You must understand that you need to pray and get ready and get a needed help, needed advice. You need an advisor in before you go in, and even when you are in. I have an advisor, I have bishop over my life and my family. And this is because God said so. So I want you to pray this last prayer and say, Lord, take away the ideology of the world and my pride and give me the marriage of heaven on earth. Open your mouth and pray. That's the last prayer. Give me a marriage of heaven on earth. In the name of Jesus. Give me marriage of heaven on earth. By the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' matchless name, we pray.